not one who likes to give the devil any benefit. But this is what the Lord really put on my heart this week as I prepared for this sermon this morning. And before we go into this, I just want to make you aware of the greatness of our God. And the fact that we do not have to fear the evil one. Because we are in the midst, we are surrounded, we should be soaked in the Most High God. We should be soaked in His Spirit, then this will be nothing for us. But I feel this morning that God really wants to make us aware of this so that we will know how to stand against the evil one. And then this morning, you know, the last few weeks already, I've just more and more became aware of the fact that you know what? The evil one's becoming more and more cunning in his attack at us. Because the Bible says in the last days, those who are holy will become holier. And those who are of this world will become more like this world. And we see it every day. Switch on your television and see the perversity on the TV. And so cunning. It creeps in so cunningly that you've watched an advert a few times and then suddenly it dawns on you. This is an attack from the evil one. Somebody came from Cape Town the other day, and when they came back, they said, the billboards are just explicit sex. People, I'm the last one to say sex is bad. In marriage, it's the most holy thing. It's the greatest gift from God. But outside, and the way the world uses it, it's wrong. And now, so we see that the evil one is coming in the most cunning ways because he knows that he's busy attacking people who are on God's side. He's not attacking the world. He's happy with him. He is enjoying every moment of this. He loves the wars. He exalts in them. He caused them. But he hates us. And people, we are the target of the evil one. And I feel in my deepest spirit that God wants to warn us to be ready for not fear it. We do not have to fear the evil one. But we must be aware of his power. And we must be aware of his abilities. God made him a great angel in heaven. As a matter of fact, he was the greatest of the angels. Loved by God. And he became the evil one. And you know, this is why I just want us to become so aware of this morning when we listen to the words that God has actually put into my mind. I want to read to you from Ephesians chapter 6, as from verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Listen what God says. You are going to have God's power. The power that Jesus was risen from the dead, that power God gives you. So don't be afraid. Be strong in the Lord, not in yourself. In verse 11, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. People, we're not fighting against palookas. We're fighting against rulers of the darkness. Against the powers, against the world forces of darkness. Against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Yes, they are here all around us. And they are trying to get to us. You know, I went to the movies yesterday. Oh, it was exciting. But you know what? When I came there and I looked at the billboards there. Nearly all of the future films showing are about demonic things. You must see those faces. You must see the eyes. You can see it in the pictures. And the world is preparing us to be just happy about that. Let's just accept the forces of darkness and get used to it. Like we got used to pornography. Like we got used to explicit things exposed in adverts and whatever. And we don't even wink an eye. We don't even lift a telephone and say we are against it. Tani Susan reminded me yesterday the people of Worcester were up against the parking meters. Within 2 days, they were disappeared. What are we doing about the things in this world that's against God? That's busy breaking down our youth. That's busy breaking down our young people. What are we doing about that? What are we doing about the young people that run to all these drugs to make them happy? Where are the mothers and the fathers that should cuddle them and love them and bring them in the presence of the Most High God? Now, I'm not saying here every drug addict's mother and father did not love them. But you know what? If you go down to the root, that's most of their problems comes from there. Being rejected, being pushed away, being hurt when they were little. I just see it daily, how people come forth with pain, with problems in their lives because of hurts that they received when they were kids. People, I'll start preaching. Let me get to the what God really asked me to do. Satan's strategy. And I'm only going to name three things. There's lots more. But I think they are main ones and actually over all the others. The first one is, he is the prince of lies. And is he good at half-truths? He loves it. He gives you half of it. He says, yes, you must be baptized. So you better baptize your babies. Can you see how cunning he is? He comes in all different ways. And I'm just going to look at a few lies that I came into my mind as I was preparing. The first one is the Big Bang. How we are all fed with that in school. How are we fed with this lie? You know, I can't think that a clever person can think that our bodies could have evolved from nothing into what we are today. Evolved. Just think our eye, how God has actually shaped it. And how he made it into this fantastic camera. Better than man could ever think to develop. Just think about our brains. The way they... And we are just using 1/10 of it. I wonder what's going to happen if we start using all of it. I think it's a good thing God didn't allow us to use all of it. Because what chaos there would have been if just 1/10 brought the chaos that's already there. So, and you know, I just can't think that these things could have happened over millions of years. And God, and the word says, God spoke and it was there. We have a powerful God that can put, I'm not saying things change, does not change through years. Yes, we do adapt. Yes, animals do adapt. But they're just so struggling to get all these links to prove their truth. You know, if I listen to Christian scientists, and I'm reading a lot about creativity, creation, and I'm reading a lot about what scientists says about creation, and it can be proven that what God says is the truth. They'd say that Noah's Ark was just a story. But all over the world, you find the clay layers right through the earth that can explain what happened in the days of Noah. People, there's lots of places. Go into creation on the internet and you will see what the truth is. I'm a little bit too old to remember all these things, but I can promise you, scientists are much better than me. It is a lie. Our God is the creator of the universe. He shaped it with his fingers. He designed it for our pleasure. He did it for us. This beautiful earth he gave. And you know what? Thank you for that scripture this morning in Genesis, where God says that he put us in charge of all of this. In charge. And what a mess. People, we need to start trusting God. You know what? They say that people who start understanding creation just comes to the Lord like that. You don't have to preach a lot. If they understand creation, they understand what God's heart is. He's done it for us. I'm not going to go into any arguments about that. Now, then I want to also talk about the creation God. In the year 1993, there was a huge assembly of nations in Chicago of all different, not only denominations, but different spiritual people. The Hindus, the Muslims, them all over the world. You can think of a religion and they were there. More than 40 different religions. As a matter of fact, I can't remember the exact number, but there was more than 100. Different beliefs. Now, I'm not, and Christianity was part of it. And that actually made me sad that we wanted to be part of that. But anyway, we were. And then they said that at this big convention, the police had to keep the Jews and the Muslims for wanting to kill one another. Now, that's the unity the world brings. God says in the Word, in the last days, we will say, peace, peace, but there will be no peace. And we are living in that time. Good. The next thing I want to just talk about is the things that were the different ways in which God was rejected as the sovereign God compared to this creation God. And they, you know, they catch some Christians by calling him the creation God. The creation God they're talking about is nothing, nobody else but Lucifer himself. Now, I want to talk about the real God. The God, the friend of Abraham. The God of Israel. I want to talk about the three in one, the Trinity. And you know what the world did? They rejected him. And it was prophesied that they would do that. And the first thing is, the first one that they wanted to go against is the Father. And they did that when they killed John the Baptist. Because John was sent by God to come and warn the people that Jesus is coming. And what did the world do? They killed him. They killed the voice of God. The next way they rejected the Trinity was they rejected the Son. They crucified him. Then they rejected the Holy Spirit because the church was working in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when they killed Stephen and they stoned him, they wanted to stop the voice of the Holy Spirit. But God is great. He just moved into lots and lots of people, and God started conquering the world. And I must tell you today, it looks like Satan is ruling, but God smiles down. He's just allowing him so that his plan can come into fruition. Like he did when Jesus died on the cross, when Satan said, "Yes, I killed him." God says, "Thank you, now he can do his job." It looked to the world that they are winning. But God is in control. And now the next thing is democracy. Now I'm not a politician, so I don't want to fight against democracy. But I don't quite think it comes from God. I don't quite think it's what God plans for the future. God is not planning democracy for his kingdom. God is the sovereign God. What he says will be done. And will be done through the ages to come, through the centuries, and through eternity. He is the ruler. Now, how could that be? that be that God wants to be the ruler? Because He's love. Because He loves His people. He wants to use us to work in His kingdom. He says when we come back with Him from above, we will rule and reign with Him. He's not that type of God that will just want to sit on His throne and do everything. He's using us. But yes, if we do not do it God's way, it's going to be chaos. Like we did. God gave us a nice test run. Now for nearly 6,000 years. We had a wonderful test run, but we couldn't do it on our own. God gave Satan the rule when Adam and Eve gave him the crown and said, now you will rule the earth. Look what he did. So he cannot rule because he's just bringing chaos. But when God is in control, sovereign, and the only one who makes the decisions, then he is the great I am. And then he is the one that will do it the best. The next one is baptizing our babies. You know what? It's actually so sad to me. You know when baptism of babies, I went really back into the history of that. And when they talk about the baptism of babies, it was done so that the rulers of those days could get all the people on their side and get everybody to be Christian so they could rule nicely. Yes, they meant it well. But that's not what God says we must do. God says, bless your children. And you know what? I'm so sad that I haven't had my children blessed instead of baptized. Because if I listen to when our babies are blessed here in church. I listen to Pastor Fred blessing those babies and the wonderful things he speaks over their lives. I think it's much greater. It's wonderful because it will, God will help us to get bring it into fruition. So, but you know what is so funny to me? When they preach about baby baptism, they say it's in a place of circumcision. It comes in the place of circumcision. Now, who gets circumcised in the Bible? Birth Jews. If they're born by birth, they are circumcised as a sign that they are Jews. So how can I go and baptize a baby and I don't know whether they've accepted the Lord yet? Can you understand that? It just suddenly dawned on me as I was busy preparing. How could I bring a baby to be baptized and they're not in the kingdom yet? So I'm putting a sign on them. So what do I make of them? I make them rebels. I am bringing them into the place of rebellion because they are not yet there. So I'm doing them more harm than I'm doing them good. This is just something that the Lord has just revealed to me. And I just want to say this. Yes, it's fine if baptism comes in the place of, but then we must be in the kingdom. Then the sign must be put on us when we are already in the kingdom. We've already accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And when I'm then going into baptism, I'm putting the sign on one of God's people. Can you understand why this is a lie from Satan to get us into bondage? The next one is the Holy Spirit is only in the Old Testament. It's not in the New Testament. It's only in the New Testament. It's not today. We don't need the Holy Spirit now. I wonder how we would have survived without the Holy Spirit. Yes, the gifts and all those things about the Holy Spirit is for the it was for the prophets and the Jesus disciples. Yes, they needed that. We don't. We are so great. We can go without it. Listen, people, go and look at our country. More than a half, nearly three quarters of our country proclaim to be Christians. Am I amazed? Am I amazed? Because there's no power. There's no power. But watch the churches who are becoming aware of the power of the Holy Spirit, who come become aware of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, who become aware of the gifts of God to His church to serve one another and please people. The gifts are not for us to enjoy. The gifts are to equip us to serve our fellow man, to serve the body of Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit gifts are for. So if we start doing that, what a power we'll have. So let's not listen to the lies of the evil one when he tells us that it's only for the New Testament. The next thing is human rights. You know, I want to laugh sometimes. If you listen to the reports on court cases, sometimes I think the guilty people are more right than the people who went to court with them. I mean, you get raped, but then it seems to me it was that person's right to rape you. That's why women don't even want to go, because you get so exposed and so you don't even want to go. And you know what, people? This becomes worse and worse. A friend of mine caught a thief busy climbing into his house. He tackled him, took him to the police officer. The next day, the police officer came to him and says, there's a case against you for hurting this person. You tackled him. I mean, what's happened? What's happened? No, you know what? Jesus said it would happen. He said what's right will be wrong and what wrong will be right in the end times. And it's busy happening. I thought when I was a little girl and I read this verse, I thought, how on earth is that going to happen? It's there. I am experiencing it. Yes, human rights. I'm not saying it's wrong altogether. But I want to just tell you, human rights bring more rebellion and more disaster than anything else. Jesus says, only obey your leaders. And I want to read to you this verse from 1 Peter 4, verse 18. Now, this is what Jesus says. This is not me. It's the Bible that says that. Be submissive to your masters with all respect. With all respect. Not only to those who are gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. Wow, that's a tough one. And for that, you need power. And I'm telling you, we are not using God's power. How many of us have changed our bosses who are unreasonable? Have we loved them? Have we prayed for them? Not praying, oh God, will you change him so that I can have a better time? But are you praying for his spirit that he might become one of the kingdom of heaven? Are you praying for that fellow worker that you hate, you can't stand it? Have you told God how you hated that boss? How you hate that person working next to you? Have you told him? You know you may. You may go and stand before God and say, God, I am furious. I am so angry. Because he wants us to come to him with our anger. He wants us to come with our needs. And women, it's for you too. Mommy, those of you who want to change your husbands, beware. God says you must honor him. I know it's not easy. I know it's hard. But go to God with your anger. Tell God exactly how angry you are. And he will help you. He will change you. I promise you that. I've seen it with my own eyes. Not once, but lots of times. Ask the women that came to me. They know. I see them smile. I know they know that's the safest place to be. And now this morning in the newspaper, report says they're angry with Angus Buchan because he teaches the women to submit to their husbands. Ooh. Now the devil's even using the newspaper to advertise his side. But let the Christian woman stand up. Let us stand up against this evil one. Let's stop wanting to change our husbands. I'll get to that one. Good. Now let's go to the next one. The rapture. You know the word rapture is not in the Bible. It's true. It's not in the Bible. But there's other great words about the rapture. And I'm so glad they're there. I want to read to you from 2 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. And you listen to that and you tell me what that is. For the Lord himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, will descend from heaven with a shout. What a shout. With the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. What is caught up but rapture? And then we will meet the Lord in the clouds, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. It's so exciting, people. We have an answer for everything that the devil wants to throw at us. But we will only get it in this book. On our knees, at the feet of the Holy One. And you know what? It's no time anymore to have your morning prayers and your evening prayers and then you're done for the day. It's time to walk in the presence of the Most High God. If you don't, you're going to get caught out. Because Jesus himself says, in the last days, even the elect will fall. Even the elect. People, let's walk in the presence of the Most High God. Let's keep connected. Pray in your tongues as much as you can. Keep close to the Most High God so you will be empowered to do what Jesus made you to do. The next thing is we need to change other people. That's what the devil says. You know, you really need to change your husband, mommy. He's really not where God wants him to be. And you know what? What's so upsetting to me is that women who really walk with the Lord believe this with all their heart. You cannot change your husband. You cannot change your boss. You cannot change your children. If you didn't teach them to obey you when they were 4 years old, I promise you, if you only started after 7, it's going to be a hard job. It's an easy job before 7. But I'm telling you, I'm teaching them, I know what it is. You will not teach them after 7, or it will be very hard. Only God can do that. Only God can change a person that's full-fledged in this world, that can... Only God can chase somebody that's so deep into drugs that the doctor says it's impossible. Only God can change them in a moment. And I'm telling you that if we don't stay on our knees for our people, they are going to be lost. We cannot change them. I've seen that. You know what? My sister has 4 children. They were all in the world. They were all in rebellion. And you know what? She came to me one day and she says, the Lord showed me that I was the reason why they don't serve God. And I had to go, her husband died, I had to go on my knees and I had to go and ask my husband forgiveness even though he was not there. I had to ask him to forgive me because because I never respected him as the head of the house. I always thought that I was this holy Christian. And he was this guy drinking so much. Whenever he had a problem, he went to the bottle. And he was a wine farmer, so he had lots of it. Now, you know what? She had to weep before the Lord because she realized she was the reason. Luckily, her husband accepted the Lord before he died. But she had to go on her knees, and it took a lot of crying and a lot of confessing. You know what? Her son loves the Lord. He baptizes people in hundreds in his swimming pool. He brings them to the Lord. He walks with them. He pastors them. And he's not even a pastor. Her daughters are coming in one by one. Her grandchildren are coming in one by one. And God is just doing his job. She wanted to have a whole weekend for them so we could preach at them. I said, no, you're not going to even try that. You're going to do more harm. Don't have a weekend of preaching. It's going to do just chase them down the road, far away from God. Pray. Be on your knees. Pray day and night. You spent how many years to get them to the world? You spent how many years fighting against your husband? You spend how many years as a hypocrite walking with your nose in the air? Now go down on your knees and plead with God. Plead for every one of them. And God is bringing them in. One by one. In his time, in his perfect way. Because you know what? The Holy Spirit does such a perfect job. He convinces people. He does not accuse them. He convinces them of their sin. He convinces them of lots of things. So let's trust the Holy Spirit, the great power. Let's trust him and ask him to do the job. And you know what? Now I just want to throw this in. I more and more realize that we should pray more directly towards the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, will you do this? You know, we sometimes kind of ignoring him. We pray to Jesus and we pray to the Father, but we don't speak to the Holy Spirit as if he's a person. We talk about the Holy Spirit. But we don't speak straight to him because he's a person and he wants to help us. And he's the only one that we can actually make very sad. That's the one that we can sin against. So let's go and sit at Jesus' feet and allow the Holy Spirit to just enfold us, to just come and just drench us, just fill every little part of our bodies with the power and the peace of God. Then the next thing is the rejection of Jesus as the Messiah. Here in Worcester, we have a group of people who are now becoming Jews. They reject Jesus as the Son of God. They say that openly. And it's growing. They are growing. My own sister was part of that. And God, by the grace, pulled her out, plucked her out. But they are believing that Jesus is not the Messiah. There's only one God, no Jesus. But you know what's so funny? God himself allowed the prophet Isaiah, he allowed Daniel, Jeremiah, all those prophets, even David, prophesied about the coming of Jesus. There's more than 40 prophecies about Jesus that were exactly fulfilled. Now just tell me, why do people say it's a spiritual thing, this rapture thing, and this going to heaven thing? Jesus coming for his church and coming for his bride. If what he says about Jesus came out exactly the way he said. He said he will be born of a virgin. He was. The prophet said that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem. They said that Jesus will be announced by angels. He was announced by angels. They said that Jesus will live in a humble home. He lived in a humble home. It says that he will be rejected by his people. When he went in with on a donkey's back, yes, some of them cheered, but they did not accept him as the Messiah. They said that he will die and that he will be pierced, and it happened exactly like that. The prophet said that he will rise again, and he rose again. So if that's what happened with the first coming, why would the second coming just be a spiritual thingy? People, he's going to do exactly what he says in his word. He said that the rivers will be polluted. They are polluted. He said that the sun will go dark. The sun went dark on England, on Europe, and they couldn't fly their planes. God is coming. What he says he'll do, he's doing. People, wake up. Live the way God wants you to live. Stop worrying about your petty little things. Stop worrying about how beautiful your house is. Put your money into giving, getting this world into this place where they should be. Let's go out, and I want to thank our youth. I want to thank each one of them. If I hear the reports coming from their cells, how they go out into this town, how they help the poor, how they lift up those who are, and how they bring in the lost, I want to say hallelujah to you. You will get your crown one day. Jesus is going to give you a crown one day, you know. You're not going to know it here on earth. I don't want any rewards here. I want them in heaven. I want them. I'm storing up. People, every time you give to God's kingdom, every time you win a soul, you are busy banking in heaven. People, eternity is long. 60, 70 years on this earth is nothing compared to eternity. What are you going to use there? What are you going to use in heaven if you have no bank account there? Bank in heaven. Sorry, I'm preaching. Good. The next thing, now I'm only one thing. Now the next one is, he's an expert to cause doubt. He did it with Adam and Eve. Are you sure God said that? Are you sure you're going to die if you eat of the fruit? You know, sometimes God tells you something that you need to do. And then when you've made the decision, then he comes. He does that with me. He told me, you're not going to stay in Worcester any longer. End of this year, you go to Kleinmond. And I obeyed. And now you know what? How many days now that I've got to pack and go? Now I think, did I really? Yeah. God, you know what? And then I've got to tell the devil, go now. You are busy causing chaos here. And God is great. Every time that I've got to stand against that voice, God gives me scripture. He gives me somebody that comes in and tells me something that I just know that I know. Like this morning when I sat there, I always say, Lord, I don't want to say what I want to say. I want to say your word. And all the people that came forward this morning just came and just said to me, you heard right. It was my voice. You can go and you can bring the message. So people, don't listen. I can't remember who it, I think it's John Bevere or somebody that talks about the border. They come and they, border bullies, they call them. You get a scripture, you get a word from God, and then suddenly these border bullies come. Are you sure? Do you really think you must do that? Oh, that's a stupid way of doing it. You know what? God has these funny ways of doing things. Completely different from... I don't know whether I told you the story about the woman that was in depression and she couldn't speak to God. And God says to me, now, she's a grown-up woman. And God says, put her on your lap. Put this woman on my lap. What will she think of me? Now I sit there and I think, Lord, you must be a bit... Now, maybe I'm hearing the devil. And I went on, and this woman just kept on crying. Ooh, she can cry. She cried out loud. And eventually I said, Lord, okay, I'll put her on. I said, will you please come and sit on my lap? God says you must. She couldn't help herself. She jumped onto my lap and did she pray? She could speak to God straight away. And I said, thank you, God, that I was a fool for you. It was great to hear. You must see her now. She loves the Lord. She goes to people. She just gets anybody in the street and say, do you know the Lord? Do you love the Lord? She's fanatic. You must see her now. But she loves God because he healed her. I did nothing. I just put her on my lap. That's not a big thing. So please, God asks you funny things. Don't worry. And then another thing that the devil says is, you should be careful of this born again thing. It's funny. But you know what? We are born, like this verse that came through this morning, by faith, by the grace of God, and by faith. So let's trust the Lord. Let's not listen to the devil. Let's not allow him to make us doubt. Let's believe what God says. Yes, and let's not, you know, the next thing that the devil makes you do is you must work. Ooh, you know, you must do all these things for God. I hear them. You know, sometimes in counseling, I hear people say, you know, I cannot get angry. I may not say I'm angry about my mother being so nasty to me. I may not be angry because I must honor my father and mother. And they sit with this thing, this guilt, this inside, they do feel anger, but they don't want to admit. People admit it. The sooner you admit it, the sooner you tell God how viciously angry you are, that you want to take a cricket bat and hit your mother on the head. Tell God that. Tell him exactly how angry you are. And he will set you free. He will set you free. Then the next, stop trying all these works. It will not work. Start doing what God says. Go to him. Tell him how you feel. I'm not saying you must really hit your mother on the head. Please. But then your anger at her will stop and you will see her as a human being who needs to be in God's kingdom, whom God loves. And you will see all the love that she actually has for you. Because that anger blinds you and you cannot see all the things that she's done for you. Going through birth pains. You know how terrible that is? It's not easy. It's hard. Do you think those 9 months of pregnancy was easy? It was not very easy. You put something on your tummy for 9 months and carry it and see how it feels. Yeah. The devil makes us listen to all these sad sob stories about how our mother neglected us and we forget about all the great things she did for you. How many times she couldn't buy herself a dress because she wanted to buy you a party dress. When you were in matric and you got that beautiful farewell dress, you know how your mother had to save up that money to get you that dress? But you forget about that. You only forget about once when she was unkind to you. Let's stop doing that. Let's see the love of God in everything. Let's change our minds. Let's get our minds clean. Let's stop doubting. Now, the next thing is... the next thing is that the devil says, you know, you've done sin, but it's big. I don't think God will forgive you. I heard of somebody, the pastor says to her, that sin was really too big. And she was under that heavy burden all the time. Please, there is no sin on this earth except the sin against the Holy Spirit. That God will not forgive you. He will forgive you all your sins. He loves you. He made you. He's waiting for you. That's why he died on the cross. He died on the cross for every sin. The next thing he says is, oh, you know, you don't really belong anywhere. Because you know what? You had to grow up with your grandparents. And your mom and dad was not there for you. At least you had grandparents. At least you were given grandparents. Don't listen to the evil one. You belong to the Most High God. You are under the wings of the Creator of the universe. You sit at the feet of our Father who rules the universe. He picks you up and he holds you and he whispers in your ear, I love you, my child. Start waking up and hear his voice. He's telling you that every day. And another thing is, God is too busy ruling the universe, you know. How could he spend time with you? You know what? God has two good thoughts for you every second of every day. He has time to have two good thoughts for every person on this earth every second of the day. So why would you think that he has no time for you? God can, I think God is much like an octopus. One leg does this and the other leg does this. But he just has much more legs than we can ever think. He can rule the universe and listen to my little cry out here, my anger. The next thing is that way the devil works is the pride thing. Because that's the two root things of all sin, is faith and pride. You can go, every sin you do, you can go down to the bottom. It's either pride or it's lack of faith. Now, here comes, now he says, you know what? You are actually better than others. I see them in the job places. They sit there and they organize everybody else to do all the work and they free. And they're always the one who, oh, you know, it's so hard with me. And they are the ones who rule and regulate everybody. They are but you know, deep down in their hearts, they are so insecure. They are so insecure. If you see them, then you look, really look, you actually want to laugh. You see those women coming in. You know, my husband is doctor, professor, this and that. And they come in and they tell you, they have all these fancy rings and they swing their fingers around and they walk with these, and it's their husband is this great man and, you know, we live in this great area. But deep in their hearts, they are broken people. They just need the Lord so much. We should feel sorry for them. We shouldn't even feel put down. We should feel shame on you. We need to feel sorry for them and start praying for them. Start serving other people. You know, if you have problems, just go and serve somebody else. And you will see. Opie always says, there's somebody else who has worse things happening to them. So let's not worry about our little things that happens to us. So, I just feel that if we start serving, we will just forget about all our things. And then pride also brings self-love. And self-love in the wrong way. And then it starts becoming rebellion. And rebellion is as rich witchcraft before God. Because rebellion, I've said it before, and I want to say it again, I can't emphasize it enough. Rebellion is always against God. Doesn't matter who you rebel against, it's actually against God. And to God, rebellion is witchcraft. So this is how serious God is. And the next thing is that we need to give instead of just want for ourselves. And we really need to start doing that because that's the only way that we're going to store up in heaven. Let's just pray. Father God, if we look at all these things that you've shown us this morning. We know that our enemy is cunning. And that he's just gently walking into our lives. And without us knowing it. And Father, this morning I just want to ask you, Lord, that you will walk from chair to chair. that you will make people so aware of the fact that you are the only answer to all our needs. You are the only one to empower us with your great power. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will flow your oil of love through this place. And Father God, that every person that's been hurt in their past will just go and give up all that pain. That they will just come and tell you about their pain. And they will just leave it in your river to take away. Father, that they will just be drenched by your love, by your anointing oil, by your healing oil. Father, I pray that you will come and meet with your people now. That they will know that they know that you're the only one. Father, that we will give up, that we will forgive, that we will ask forgiveness. Doesn't matter how and when and where. But Lord, that we will see the lies of Satan and his Jezebel spirit that reign our lives. Father, that we will be free. I pray now, Lord God, that every spirit of rebellion, every Jezebel spirit that wants to manipulate and rule people's lives will go now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I pray that they will be freed, every one of them sitting here. That every spirit that binds them to the past, every family tie, everything that comes from the past, every secret vow that they made, that never vow. Father, I break every never vow in your name this morning. And I pray, Father God, set your people free. Let them go out forth so that they can bring this town before you, Lord. That they can conquer this town for the kingdom. We pray that in Jesus' name.